The Lord be with you. I have here a picture of my grandmother Vincenta. This is when she's 7 years old, growing up in the 1920s in the Hudson Valley, not too far north from New York City, where I once lived. This is my father's mother, and she didn't stay in the Hudson Valley for very long. As a young woman, she went down to Venezuela during World War II. And she went down there to teach the children of workers in the oil fields who were drilling oil for the war effort. And one of the engineers drilling oil was my grandfather, Francis. And the two of them met each other, and we have letters describing their courtship of the time where they got to know each other down there. And it was a time spent exploring the incredible natural beauty of Venezuela, hiking through jungles and mountains and swimming in lakes and rivers and waterfalls. They fell in love and they got married while they were down there. And shortly after they were down there, my grandparents went swimming in a river and my grandmother had a cut. And while she swam in that river, something entered into her blood and she came down with a terrible infection. The doctors were looking at her in Venezuela, and what they decided was if she were to stay in the tropics, she would die. And so in the midst of World War II, they put her on an army plane with all the windows blacked out so that no one could spy through it, and flew her all the way back to the United States. And she would never again return to Venezuela. Today we hear the consequences of humans eating from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? Last week, we heard how God had made this beautiful garden, this beautiful natural world, and everything in it was good, but humans ate from this tree that gave them the power to judge for themselves what was good and what was evil, and they began to judge everything as bad. And we hear what they did with that knowledge was to become afraid, to hide from God, to start fighting with each other. But today we hear how God responds to the human's actions of eating that fruit. And God does two things. God gives a curse, but God also names consequences. And it's important to understand that there's a difference between curses and consequences, right? So if you have a teenager, say, and maybe you gave the teenager a car so that they could drive themselves around, and say your teenager is out with their friends one evening driving recklessly and they crash that car. Yeah, hypothetical situation. Right, a curse would be to shave that kid's eyebrows, right? A punishment just to add suffering upon pain. But a consequence would be to say, well, now you don't have a car. I hope you like walking, right? That's just kid made a bad choice. Now there's a consequence to it. They don't have a car anymore. Now, God does give a curse in response to humans eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. But the curse is just for the serpent. The curse to the serpent is you tried to make humans higher than they should be, so now you will be the lowest of the animals. You will crawl on your belly. And second of all, you tempted the humans into conflict with each other, and so now you will always have conflict with humans. That's the curse that the God gives. But there's a second curse. And this second curse isn't given by God. It's given by humans. God says, the ground will be cursed because of you. Not because of God, but humans will curse the ground. Where once the ground brought forth trees with fruit that were given freely to humans who could eat easily, suddenly the ground will now bring forth things that are painful to humans, thorns and thistles. And in the 20th century, we have come to see the truth of what Scripture says. The earth has so much goodness in it for us, and yet humans continually take what is not meant for us in ways that curse the natural world and cause harm to us. So here in Northern California, so many communities used to function off of lumber and fishing, and yet we ended up cutting down so many trees that the soil began eroding and filling up those rivers until those communities no longer have trees nor fish. and lack any sustenance at all. Or we mine too close to our water sources, and the water that's supposed to give us life now poisons us. Or we extract and burn too many fossil fuels, and so the very air in our cities become toxic. God tells us that the consequence of human sin is a curse upon the land. We harm it for no reason. But humans themselves are not cursed. Humans themselves, we only suffer consequences. And God is clear what those consequences are. There's three big ones. The first one is, we have cursed the land, okay, but the consequence of that is now, instead of the land giving us food easily, we will have to till the soil and grow plants of the field, and only by the sweat of the brow will we be able to eat our bread. And second, the consequence of the woman having been the first one to listen to the serpent is now the man thinks he gets to be in charge. Now, I want to be clear on this, right? God does not intend for the man to be in charge. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, right? God makes the man and the woman as equal partners, and yet now the man is going to forever say, well, remember you listened to that snake, so now I'm going to be the one in charge, so you got to listen to me. Yeah? This is a consequence of sin. And the third thing is, because we have decided to judge for ourselves what about life is good and evil, bringing forth life will now always involve pain. These are consequences to our actions. My grandma fortunately recovered from that illness that she received in Venezuela, but nothing was ever the same for her after that, because from that illness, she would, throughout her life, experience debilitating pain. She would spend days at a time bedridden. And my dad and my uncle will tell me stories of their father cooking dinner and my grandmother not being able to come to the dinner table because she was not feeling well, and yet desiring to be with her family so much that she would crawl on her elbows, dragging herself to the dinner table so that she could be with her family. The life that she had with my grandpa when they first got married, exploring and going on adventures, that was gone. There was no going back. And in a situation like that, we may ask ourselves, is this some sort of divine punishment? Is this some sort of curse? And the answer is no. This is simply a consequence. A consequence of an action which may not even have been a sinful action. It is simply cause and effect. And what's important to know is that what consequences are different from curses in this very important way. Curses contain condemnation, but consequences contain grace. Within every consequence, there is the opportunity for new life. So, in the consequences that Adam and Eve receive, that consequence of now humans have cursed the ground and have to work the ground to bring forth their bread, there is grace in that, because at the very least, humans can, from the ground, grow plants and by the sweat of their brow earn their daily bread. There may be a consequence that the genders are no longer working together as equal partners and helpers for one another, but there is grace in that the genders still have to work together to bring forth life into this world. There may be a consequence that life now involves pain, that bringing forth new life is painful, but there is still grace that God says we will desire to bring forth that new life, that it will be pleasurable to create new life, that even in the midst of this painful world, there is still pleasure to be had. And that's what my grandmother Vincenta discovered. So, we Colahans, we have this odd family trait of needing to get lost in the wilderness. It's an affliction we have. I don't know where it comes from. It was true for me, true for my dad, true for my grandpa. But my grandmother was no longer able to participate in that with him. And so what my family would do is they would go and drive out into the mountains and the deserts in Southern California, and they would park the car, and my grandpa and my dad and my uncle, They would go wander through the desert together, and my grandma would stay there in the car. And she would read, or she would take snapshots. And then she would write letters to friends and family all around the country, and forge relationships that still exist to this day, long after her death. And when my dad got older and became a Cub Scout and wanted to go out on adventures with them, my grandma wasn't able to go out on those adventures, but she still found a way to participate. She became the den master for the Cub Scouts, and she would support them by sewing uniforms and costumes. And when my dad got even older and became a language student preparing to travel the world, my grandma wasn't able to go on all those adventures with them, but she learned French. And when my dad learned Latin for his studies, she learned Latin with him so that with her languages, she could encourage him and prepare him for the adventures that awaited. The life that she once had with my grandpa had to come to an end, but she discovered a new life, a life no longer rooted in the body, but rooted in the mind, a life where she could bring forth love for her children in their home to prepare them to go out into the world. This is the thing about consequences. In every consequence, there is grace. Right? Even for that teenager who crashes their car and has to walk now, praise God, they are able to walk away from that car crash. In every consequence, there is the opportunity for new life. In every consequence, there is Christ waiting for us. We may have to, by the sweat of our brow, earn our daily bread, but praise God, when we break that bread together, we are sharing the body of Christ that is ready to sustain us. The genders may no longer work in perfect harmony, but in the battle of the sexes, we discover that there is a new way, the way that is promised to us in baptism, that in Jesus there is no longer male and female, for all are one in Christ. It may be that we have eaten of that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so now we judge good and evil, and we start judging ourselves evil most of all, and so we become afraid, and we hide, we cover our true selves. But we hear today in Genesis that after listing all the consequences of human sin, God made garments of skins for the man and his wife. Because for all the consequences of their sin, God still loves them and still cares for them. God may not be able to roll back the consequence of their action that Adam and Eve look upon themselves and only see shame, but God can tell them that God doesn't see them in the same way that they do. And so God covers their shame with an act of love. And in that we see Christ, for in baptism we are clothed with Christ. When God looks at each and every one of us, God sees the goodness of Jesus. And so, trusting that in every consequence there is mercy, in every consequence there is Christ waiting for us, may we trust that the final consequence that comes from Adam and Eve's action is also one in which grace is found. Because God says, look, they have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now they have become like us, and they might reach out their hand and take the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. Last week I talked about how Adam and Eve, once they take that fruit from the knowledge of good and evil, they begin to judge themselves to be evil. And then they become afraid, and they hide, and they turn against each other. And I said that in that moment, God's creation hasn't changed, but their relationship to it has. And so, without moving an inch, they have gone from living in paradise to living in hell. They are in a living hell because they no longer trust God or each other. And so today we hear God say, may they not live this way forever. May they not live in hell forever. And so God sends them out of the garden so that they might die. Because sometimes the life we live becomes so broken, that the only way for healing is through death. That's what we hear in that gospel lesson that I read. Jesus says, you know, that time will come when that desolating sacrilege is set up in the place where it's not supposed to be. Let the reader understand. And Jesus is talking most literally about when the Emperor Caligula tries to set up an idol to himself in the temple of Jerusalem. And it sparks a series of events that will culminate in Jewish revolution, which goes very badly for the Jewish people, and Rome comes and just destroys the whole city of Jerusalem. And people suffer unimaginable suffering. Jesus says in those days there will be suffering. But he warns people they can't go back. Right? If you're on the rooftop, don't go into your house. If you're in the field, don't go back. All we can do is go forward. And even if you're naked in that moment, trust that God will take care of you. And then Jesus says, if those days had not been cut short, no one would be able to be saved. Because sometimes the life that we have right now is so broken that the only way for healing is for the life that we know to end and for God to create new life. My grandma Vincenta, in the last 10 years of her life, came down with a terrible case of Alzheimer's. And I have a picture of her here at the end of her life. In those last 10 years, she moved up to Oregon to be near my dad and me and my stepmom. And the hard thing was, eventually, she stopped being able to recognize my dad for who he was. And yet, if my dad wouldn't go and see her every single day, she would fly into a rage with her caregivers. She would try to escape the places where my dad put her, where she could get the care she needed, and she would get lost and wander around. But no matter where we placed her, she would insist that place wasn't good enough. And those last few years, she moved 5 times. And every time she moved, she said what she wanted more than anything was to go home. But of course, she couldn't. Her literal home had been sold long ago, and that life that she had with her boys when they were little, it was long gone. When Adam and Eve go forth from the garden, God puts an angel with a flaming sword at the entrance of the gate so that humans will never go back. Because we can't. We can't go back. I remember vividly, and I think it was my senior year of high school, I came down the steps of my bedroom one Saturday morning, and my dad sat me down at the dinner table, and he said to me, "Your grandma has died." And I remember my dad and I, in that moment, we both just started weeping. We wept because this woman whom we had loved had died, but also we wept because this woman whom we had loved was finally at peace. The Alzheimer's that had robbed her of her mind was gone. The illness that had robbed her of her body was gone. She had gone home. At last, she could be once more with her husband, Francis, and they could go on that one last great adventure. They could be in paradise together once more. Sometimes we can't go back. But in Jesus, we can always go forward. And so even in death, Christ is there waiting for us, waiting to take us home in a way that we can't get to in any other. Every single one of us. Every single one of us sins. Every single one of us makes mistakes. Every single one of us hurts ourselves and hurts others, sometimes without even meaning to. And there are consequences to those actions, and there are consequences to those inactions. And sometimes the consequences mean we can't go back. We can't go back to the things, to the way things used to be. But just because we can't go back doesn't mean we are cursed. For in every consequence, Christ is waiting for us, waiting to bring us into new life. And that is true at the end of our days. And that is true at the end of a relationship or at the end of a job. And it is true to the extent that every single day Jesus calls us to lay down our lives, to lay down the ways we live that are harmful to ourselves and to others, to die to ourselves and learn to live in Him so that He might lead us to everlasting life. Friends, when the consequences of life mean you can't go back, may you reach out for Jesus to lead you on. Amen.